Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on The Score.
Mark Rohde's got a lot of stuff, so let's get to him.
Caleb Williams, as you may or may not know, sent a representative, and that was his dog. And that's where the conversation started about the Wiener's Circle story.
Did your dog go to the hot dog place?
My dog did go to the hot dog place.
Now that looks like a fast dog. Let me ask you this. If you're going to put him on a football team, which would be your wide receiver, which would be your tight end? Who can go the farthest, the fastest?
Well, I don't know any dogs that play football.
I'm having some fun with it.
He had a blast, and
did he have a hot dog?
He had a hot dog. I heard. it's not typically in his diet, but I don't think he had ketchup on it.
Good for Caleb's dog. That's a nice. Had himself a little treat. Had a time out on the town.
What's the name of the dog?
The dog.
Oh, Freckles.
This was my dog. His name was Tippy.
I used to know Justin Fields' dog's name because Danny was going to trade him.
Justin Fields had a bulldog, right?
I feel really bad for you know, Danny's dog, because I would never do that to my dog.
The dog's love is completely everlasting.
I think Caleb's
Omar.
Dog's name is Dave the Cat. Oh, no, it's Omar.
No, yeah, Dave the Cat.
It's neither one
Dave
of those
Dave the
things.
Cat, the dog.
What's the dog's name?
Max. Hey, Janelle. What's wrong with Wolfie? I can hear him barking. Is he okay?
Wolfie's fine, honey. Wolfie's just fine. Where are you?
Your foster parents are dead.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show, and no, you're not going crazy right now. We are hanging out from 10 until 2, because we're going to Circa Las Vegas after the show. So Raheemy Harris and Grody were nice enough to switch with us. And as a matter of fact, they're going to be at Old Crow today from 2 until 6 with Budweiser. It's going to be outstanding. If you're in the area, you should go and hang out with them from 2 until 6. Our crew, our executive producer is Alex Kuhn. The sound engineer extraordinaire, Chris Tannehill. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Justin Fields' dog's name was Uno, and Caleb Williams' dog's name is Supa, S-U-P-A.
Okay.
Asked, answered, established. This is how we are as a football town. We know our quarterbacks' dogs' names. We do, because we hope that they're good. And remember what Justin said? His dog, like, helped him get through the rookie year. Like, it was tough, and his dog was his best friend.
Dogs are great for anxiety.
I wish.
Not good, dog fans.
They are good.
Leave Kyler Murray out of this.
That's right. Man, this is the Vegas Flight Pregame Show. That's what this is. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Vegas Flight Pregame Show. We'll be on a flight later on this afternoon. There's drink tickets. There's all kinds of stuff going on.
There is, but we promise to give you entertainment between now and 2 o'clock, because that's what you tune in for. Here's what we got planned. Jared Payton's going to join us at 11 o'clock. Dave Wannstedt is going to join us for two segments at noon. It is 5 o'clock somewhere. Alex, can you look on the world map and figure out where it's going to be 5 o'clock at noon?
It's a great task. Great task. And get ready. How are you as a midday dry erase board holder? Have you ever done it in the middays?
Yeah, I think so. I think I can figure it out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We should let you know that what we do with Coach now is that we have a dry erase board and he draws stuff up. So if you're part of the Twitch audience, you get a little extra bonus and we appreciate you hanging out with us. If you're not part of the Twitch audience, you're like, wait, what? Yeah, at noon, get your ass to Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. And then you can be a part of the visual experience of the show of Coach going through plays, drawing stuff up, and then we'll talk it up as much as we can for those of you who are listening and can't see it.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Tune in to Twitch.
Last week he drew up what the Lions were doing from a run game perspective. I mean, he gets carte blanche, but I'll be interested to talk to him about what Dennis Allen did perhaps against the Cowboys or that kind of thing. But we'll see. He's a man who knows a lot about football and loves to draw it up. Looking forward to it.
I'm guessing like Reykjavik? Is maybe 5 o'clock at noon, like Iceland, or is it somewhere in Iceland would be 5 o'clock at noon?
Yeah, it could be. London?
No, I think they're six hours ahead. 6 or 7.
So Greenland, we got to come back east a little bit.
Yeah.
Reykjavik is good. How about Antarctica?
Reykjavik is correct, by the way.
Boom!
Look at that.
For the win!
Man.
Way to spoil the tease. You got to keep them listening, Lawrence.
Damn it. Still got to figure out this whole radio thing.
Yeah, good luck.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
There it is.
In Reykjavik.
That's
it's beautiful there this time of year.
Well, you know, maybe we should go. Alex, maybe the station will send you there. I'm sorry you're not coming to Vegas.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thanks for rubbing that
I'm
in.
So excited for you guys. I know you're going to have so much fun.
We all try. We all march into Mitch's office. I said, I will be mildly upset if you don't send Alex to Vegas.
I said, is there something in the budget? Is there anything
mildly
in the budget?
Mildly upset.
I don't want to cut anything from my world, but is there anything else in the budget? Maybe you can cut.
Alex, you'll be happy to know that we all went in with our jerseys, and we threw them on the desk in Mitch Rosen.
Lawrence, you're supposed to be a captain.
Wait, I just saw you in that jersey yesterday. How'd you get it back?
So they didn't.
Yeah, we didn't leave him there. We took our jersey and we threw him down, and then he said no, and then we took him and we left. But we did try.
Yeah, we tried.
Next time,
you can go and I'll stay.
Hey, man. You know, Alex.
I think Lawrence is honest about that.
He's honest about that. You know how many times I stayed behind? I remember McNeil and Boers and Matt Fishman, the producer, going to Salt Lake City 2 years in a row for Bulls and Jazz while I stayed behind and worked the board. So we've all been there. You will get there, and we will have a great trip in the future. I promise you.
Yeah.
And I will live vicariously through all three of you.
Yes. You didn't get that bad pizza. That's the beautiful thing about you not going to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I didn't get sick.
See?
Yeah.
See? It works out.
It did work out.
Spiegs was at
pizza. All by myself. Nobody else eats.
I wasn't there. I would have helped eat that pizza. That's
then
for
there
sure.
Would have been a problem.
Especially if it had Layla's name on it. I definitely would have eaten that.
Spiegs was at Wrigley Field last night. Rest of the show was watching the game on television. Poor us having to watch that broadcast last night. And ordinarily, I don't go in on broadcasters, but I was disappointed with the level of preparation that showed during the broadcast.
Man, that's rough. Yeah, because I did not. I want to hear more about that. I want to hear more about that. But let me tell you the moment that's not going to leave me from last night. Had the opportunity to be in, you know, pretty good seats to see the Cubs dugout, to see the players and stuff like that as they walk to the on deck circle. But what that also meant is I had the opportunity to watch Pete Crow Armstrong approach third base on that wild pitch. And as he approached third base, I saw him looking over and I wasn't exactly sure what he was looking at until later. But to see him just running at like 3/4 speed towards third base and then look over as he approached and decide, you know what? I think I'm going to make this turn and freaking go for it and turn on the jets to see the decision and the ignition of that kid's full throttle speed is something I'm not going to forget. Like, because then he was just blazing to home plate and the head first slide. And it was just a spectacular athletic moment. Like, that took me out of where I was and the baseball of it, even just for a second. It was like, oh my God, look at that athlete. I imagine it's what it must have been like, and I was never on the sideline to see Devin Hester see daylight, and you know, on a kickoff return or a punt return, and then boom, just step on the accelerator and just take off. That's the first thing I thought of as I was trying to contextualize it.
When you brought up Devin Hester, the play that I thought of with him is the Giants return, where he kind of slow plays it and then goes.
Yeah, and that was the sensation, was watching Pete run faster than any of us could probably run as he's just approaching third base, but then make the decision, you know what, I think I got this. And whoo!
The Mets were shooketh in that moment. They were like, wait, what? What's he doing?
And he had just reached first on a throwing error by Vientos, the third baseman, which allowed a run to score. And that throw probably affected by Pete's speed and the concern about getting the throw there in time. So speed killed. And when he did that, whoo, man, the place was up for grabs. And I'm not going to forget watching that athletic moment. Here's Pete, or here's the play, I should say, first from our own Zach Zabin on the score.
Holmes is ready. Here's the pitch. That one bounces past the catcher Alvarez all the way to the backstop. Pichet is going to try to score. The throw is off the glove of Holmes. Speed kills. PCA doing PCA things, and the Cubs make it 8-2.
Well, just a mental mistake once again by the Mets. Holmes throws this ball. It's a wild pitch. Goes to the backstop. Alvarez goes and gets this ball, but he doesn't come to the plate.
Lawrence.
He's just standing on a mound, kicking the dirt.
I would have caught it.
And nobody's at home plate. Pete beats him to the plate, head first dive, and he scores all the way from second. A mental mistake by the pitcher.
8-2 Cubs. What awareness by Pete Crow Armstrong. Scoring on a wild pitch from second base.
Hey, what's up, Holmes?
Why didn't you cover home, man? What's wrong with you?
You know, I don't pitch a lot, so when I get an opportunity to pitch.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you were, I know you were frustrated, but you got a job to do.
I know, I just lost awareness.
I was locked in on PCA. I didn't even see that Clay Holmes wasn't covering, but that's apparently what PCA was looking at.
That's the way that you're supposed to do it. When you're being a heads-up player, you're out here looking for an opportunity to take advantage, and he took advantage. That's smart. And that's we get an opportunity every week to talk with Nico Horner. And Nico is one of the most heads-up guys that they have on their team. We had a whole thing yesterday. We on our show, which is usually 2-6, about the Cubs and how good a base running team they are.
Yeah.
This is another illustration of that. Now, he's got the added, like, he's super fast and one of the fastest guys in MLB.
Sure.
But the paying attention part is important too.
Oh yeah, man, he's got the Javi Baez thing of the really good instincts and wanting to take advantage of it, and then he's got the crazy speed. This is Pete talking about taking that extra base, scoring from second on the wild pitch.
I don't know if there's like much of a thought process that really happens during those plays. I think that's when instinct kind of kicks in and takes over. So I'm always like kind of looking for plays like that. They just rarely happen. So again, being able to take advantage of that, and it's not so often you see a ball that gets by the catcher at Wrigley that doesn't kick hard off the brick. So I was able to just kind of scan the field like our boy Caleb does, and yeah, it was great. It's great.
It's that guy Williams.
Hey, the shout out to Caleb. That's nice.
Wow.
Connect a little bit of everything.
Let's see
how good the vibes are.
Oh, man.
What if he would have said Tyson Bagent? His twin.
I think there are a couple guys in that clubhouse that might.
Oh, my God. He does look a little like Tyson. Wow. That's crazy. But no, he said Caleb because he knows who the man is. See what happens when the Bears win? The vibes are just pervasive. It's all over town. Yeah, people are getting free hot dogs. Dogs are visiting, you know, iconic hot dog joints. You know, young players are making plays and calling out the quarterback. We do transition with Mully and Haw. Like, I mean, it's unbelievable what happens. We go to Vegas when the Bears win.
We were going to go to Vegas had the Bears rolled into this game 0-3.
I'm glad they didn't.
I'm really glad they didn't.
Can you imagine?
I'm so glad we didn't have to do the Monday show the oh no, the season's over and it's September show.
Gruesome.
Just imagine previewing the game on Friday with Olin and like just like going through the tape and all the bad things they're doing. And just in the background, just like.
The constant dance party while the Bears are 0-3 and facing week 4 elimination at the hands of Pete Carroll.
But fellas, we did do that last year, remember?
No.
That was fun.
Remember after the Patriots game?
Oh, that's the last time we were in Vegas.
No, I kind of wiped that out of memory, at least the game portion of it.
That was the worst. That was a miserable experience.
They were in the middle of a losing streak. An epic losing streak.
And that was the game where it's like, the season's over. And,
oh, yeah.
Because that was the game that you were going, oh, well, you know, the Washington thing was a thing.
Sure.
Then they had a hangover against Arizona.
I get it.
They'll get right against New England and their rookie quarterback, who's not very good.
And Tyreek got beat by Drake May on the same play like 4 times.
Yeah. And then in the background, dude.
And then Tanny, me and you in the pool after that one. I remember being in the pool being like, oh, this should be fun. And this does not feel fun.
I think that was my favorite part of the trip. And it's a very small thing, but the moment when Chris Tannehill just said, bleep it. Like, when he's just like, I'm tired of this. I'm going to enjoy the rest of my day. I'm going to go get in the pool. Yeah. You guys do whatever you want, but I'm out of here and I'm sick of the Bears.
Screw you, Bears.
I'm going to the pool.
You will not ruin my Circa vacation. And they won't this time.
Yeah, either. They haven't once to this point.
Can't do it.
No, you can't allow them to do that. You'll hear it when we're on the air tomorrow from 2 to 6. And we'll be on in our regular spot tomorrow, 2 to 6, by the way. And if you're like, hey, where's Layla? Where's Marshall? Where's Groves? Well, they're going to be out at Old Crow. I care. And Budweiser absolutely cares because Budweiser is sending them out there to Old Crow in Wrigleyville. Go see the show. Like, if you're thinking about going to the game, Raheemy Harrison Grody, they're going to be there from 2 until 6. Mm-hmm. Stop by to register and to win special prizing. Listen, there are things that I can't say legally, but I will tell you.
The prizing's good.
The special prizing.
It's special.
It's really special.
And it's prizing.
And you should go and register for it because if you were to win it, I think next week around this time, you would be really happy.
Trying to do the math.
Hint, hint. Hmm. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Say no more.
So that's 2 o'clock at Old Crow in Wrigleyville. It's all brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you.
Other things from the ball game. It was really good to see Matt Shaw have a great offensive night. That helps the bottom of the order.
And whoever Matthew Bush is, he was awesome. When did the Cubs get him?
You guys got to help me because, like I said in transition, I have a certain amount of empathy for screwing up a name like I do Sam Laporta and Matt Laporta when I'm not careful.
You're not the play-by-play guy. We are doing impromptu sports talk.
Yeah.
It's different than prepping your scorecard to do play-by-play. And even inside of that, getting a name wrong is not a sin. Repeatedly getting a name wrong
is a problem. That is a problem.
That ball right field. This one deep. This is tag. Soto at the wall. It sail into row one. Matthew Bush, 31, RBI 83 and 84. Touch them all time and tee them up time. The Chicago Cubs are having a field day against the Mets and their staff.
This is what Matthew Boyd has been doing all season long.
Bush.
It's the mild condescension in the correction.
Correct?
Yeah. Well, this is what Matthew Boyd has been doing all season long.
Bush.
Matthew Bush, excuse me.
Yeah, trust me, kid. I got it. It's Matthew Bush. All right. Glad we talked. Oh, it's not? Who is he? Me doing trivia yesterday? Who does he think he is? Me doing tight end trivia yesterday?
Apparently.
Matt Bush, not Matthew Bush. You guys remember Matt Bush, former number one overall draft pick who ended up playing for the Rangers and the Brewers? But that's not Matthew. I don't know. Is there another Matthew Bush in the sports world?
I mean, I don't think we have to look for it. I think that it's a juxtaposition.
Of Matthew Boyd.
Yes, that's what it was. But to then continue to do it and then condescend your partner, and you're both wrong in who hit the home run. That's not good. It wasn't a good look at all. When we come back, the Cubs have got some things to think about as it pertains to their roster. We had an opportunity to talk with the Cubs manager. We will share some of his thoughts about what to do about Kyle Tucker. Don't go anywhere. Spiegel and Holmes sitting in for Raheemy, Harris, and Grody here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Four.
Ground ball, left side, base hit. One run is in. Happ will go to third and hold on. Coming in to score, Nico Hoerner. Cubs lead 3-0. Moises Ballesteros delivered.
Mo Baller. He's going to be on the roster, right?
He's gotta be on the playoff roster. That kid can just flat out hit. He fears nothing, makes crazy contact. And Craig brought him up to us unprompted yesterday in our conversation. Brought him up to us. Like, to me, that's just the kind of kid who has the potential to make an impact and have people around the country going like, where'd they get this kid? That kid can hit. What the hell's going on?
So look, before we get into hearing some of the sound from Craig and talking about some of the roster stuff, you didn't tell us who was sitting in front of you.
Two rows in front of me. He was in row two.
John Mulaney.
And I think it was his kids. I mean, it was a big
Chris
pile
Chelios.
Of family. No. Let's say this. He had a White Sox hat on. He was wearing a White Sox hat.
Oh, I got to be careful because I obviously will probably love this person wearing a Sox hat. But
Chris Tannehill.
It's not my favorite thing to wear the Sox hat at the Cub game.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't agree with
and
that.
And it was an old Sox hat. It was an old Sox
Which
hat.
Which one? Campbell C?
No, but it was a regular Sox hat like you're wearing, but it was old. It had sweat stains all over it, like to prove the cred.
Was it Cusack?
No. Bigger than that.
Phil Donlin?
Bigger than that?
Oh, yeah.
Former President Barack Obama?
No.
Bill Murray.
That would be Justin Ishbia, ladies and gentlemen. Justin.
Ooh, now, you know what? Actually, I like that.
Well,
if you're the next owner of the White Sox and you're going to a Cubs game with family, a lot of whom were wearing Cubs stuff, and you're living on the North Shore, but you're down there in very good seats at the Cubs game, and you're the next owner of the White Sox, I think you wear your White Sox hat. You like that, don't you? You like that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You like that.
He's gone to a lot of Cubs games, from what I'm told.
Me too.
That he's spent a lot of time with the Ricketts at the games and all of that stuff.
Yeah. So, and he certainly goes to a lot of Sox games. Likes going to baseball games. Big baseball guy, as we know from some of the comments and the donation he made to Michigan State. Remember, and he talked about the beauty of the game. Like, he's a baseball romantic. Legit loves it. So there he was last night wearing the Sox hat.
Sure he does. This segment is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
Folks, you see, part of being a White Sox fan culturally, like Lawrence Holmes, is inherent distrust of the next owner.
No, I get it. Let's not bake in that he just loves the game.
That's
okay?
What I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Like, let's not have that as a, you know, pre-existing baseball condition once he, you know, takes ownership that
right.
He loves the game.
Yeah, who would want to believe that their owner actually loves the game? Who'd want to believe that?
Look, that's what you want. But
show us.
But Cubs fans know that their owner –
loves baseball, but still hasn't always done the things that would make you think that he loves baseball.
Yeah, no, there's a line to be crossed. But the stuff that Ricketts did in the first 5, 7, 9 years of his ownership sure came across like a baseball fan.
It sure did.
And it was very useful, wasn't it?
And then there was a 5-year stretch where nothing was done.
Would you rather?
And players were moved out of here as salary dumps.
Would you rather?
Hi, you Darvish.
Would you rather not have those first 9 years where things were changed and established?
You shouldn't make that a binary choice for fans.
I'm not making it a binary choice.
You just did.
No, you're the one making it a binary choice.
No. To me,
it comes with both.
The owner should be able to just be a baseball fan and do what's best for the baseball team all the time, instead of just being like, well, because you had 9 years of great stuff means that you deserve to suffer those 5 years, and which would you rather have?
That's a binary argument. You're putting words in my mouth.
No, you put those words in your mouth, banana.
You did. It's a net.
No, you did.
No, you, Lawrence, Tanny, you did. Alex, that's why you're not going.
It was me. Sorry, guys.
I got to stop putting words in your mouth. You're starting stuff is what you're doing.
Let me ask you this. Don't romanticize owners.
I'm also not doing that.
You just did. Oh, with his hat, and it had all of the salt on it. That proves that he's a lover of baseball. That's what you just did.
Didn't I do that with irony in my voice and tongue-in-cheek, though, Lawrence?
Come on.
Why am I pointing out that the hat was there to prove his cred? Because that's what he's trying to do. Because that's his version of human less than. Is like, well, I'm a billionaire, but I want to show that I'm a longtime Sox fan. I'm trying to look at the thing in full.
Less than was a great overnight host.
He really was. I miss him. I miss local overnights and less than. Let me ask you this. Net positive or negative, the Ricketts family's effect on Cubdom since 2012?
Net positive.
Okay. If you had to guess, net positive of Justin Ishbia's impact on Soxdom between now and the next 15 years.
I can't do that. That's it.
I think it's going to be it's going to be non-Reinsdorf. It will be net positive.
That's the only thing that is.
I think you can book that.
Yeah, it's hard. It's going to be hard to be worse as far as most fans how they see
it. Okay, I would just suggest that. One, thinking about what a team's going to look like 15 years from now is folly.
An entire organization.
Folly.
But don't you think from a business perspective, he can't help but put the organization in a better spot in 15 years?
I would suggest that everyone do some reading on the Phoenix Suns.
Sure. I said net. I'm not saying one or the other.
I just think that because of how we feel about Reinsdorf, and we could use the same argument that you're using about the Ricketts for Reinsdorf as we celebrate the 20th year of the White Sox winning the World Series.
Yeah. Net positive on Jerry?
Right?
Yeah, that's a thinner margin, though.
But it would still be a net positive, right?
Yeah, I think it probably would. How do Mets fans feel about Steve Cohen? Net positive?
If your owner's doing absolutely everything and it's not working, I think fans would be like, well, man, this dude is out here spending.
He's out here trying.
He's out here trying. And that's all I want. I want the standard to be that. I don't want the standard to be, well, he's not Reinsdorf. I don't want that to be the standard. I want the standard to be, hey, are you going to come in and innovate? And again, the timeline of this, like the way that all of that stuff went down to me is ridiculous. Where if you're waiting on Justin Ishbia to take over the White Sox, you could be waiting for 9 years.
Yeah, no, it's Jerry definitely kicking the can down the road and letting himself have it. Just for the record, I didn't make it binary, and I don't think you did. I think it was Alex. That's the problem.
You're going to blame him?
100%.
I thought for sure you were going to say Cusack.
Was
he at the game last night?
Apparently. I didn't see any of those guys.
Because that would be very Cusack, because he does get the, hey, man, you can't be both. And there are White Sox fans that don't trust him, even though he was a White Sox in 8 men out, because he's kind of been at both places. He's one of the people that's lived in both spaces. And I figured he'd be there with Chelios.
Yeah, he probably is.
How about Chelios' life after hockey?
Dude,
jeez.
I heard there was a party after the Chelios golf outing where there was a country band, and everybody who was there like was able to get up and sing with the band, including former Cubs managers, current Blackhawks. Like, these guys' lives, man. It's just... party after party after. It's a celebration.
It's a celebration.
Yeah.
So back to what we were initially going to talk about before Speak sidetracked us with his talking points.
It wasn't a memo, though.
It was.
No,
it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Craig Council is on our show every other week, and we have a good time talking. Well, Speaks usually has a good time talking.
Yeah, you go a little nuts.
I'm trying to get through to him, and he's a tough nut to crack, he's really smart and really fun.
It was really good yesterday.
It was great yesterday.
One of our best ones.
I agree with you. Here's what he said about the impact of Kyle Tucker and his injury on the playoff roster.
The scenario is tonight's lineup, because he's not available tonight. And then there's a scenario where he DHs, and there's a scenario where he plays right field. So it's pretty three simple scenarios.
Well,
we can wait to figure that out. I'm pretty sure I can do that pretty quickly.
I'm just saying that with a week to go to the playoffs, that might your roster not change if one of those other two things happen, where if he is only a DH, might that change who's on the roster because of who you then be asking to play defense, or you might want to do handed stuff. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
No, I mean, look, you know, I think, you know, his outfield availability affects Saya's job. I think, you know, I think, look, Moises has made a pretty big case to put himself on a playoff roster as a bat. There's no question. You know, where we get into like the extras, you're always going to have a decision at some point of like, do I want to take this kind of extra skill or do I want this extra skill? So that no matter, take out Kyle, you're always going to make a choice with kind of that last guy on the roster. And it's just, you don't get everything, right? You don't get the great defender, you don't get the great hitter, and you don't get the great base runner, you know, you don't get them all, right? So you just got to choose kind of what you have and your strengths and how you think the games will be, how those players will be most useful in those games.
There's an endorsement for Mo Baller.
There is, but an admission that you don't get everything and some of those choices. Here's the thing. Was able to ask Jed about this the other day. So how many pitchers on a 26-man roster in a first-round wildcard series? 13? 12? 11? I asked it that way, and he said, we've done a lot of work on it. Last year, I think multiple teams did 12. Some teams did 11. I think the Cubs might be one of those teams that go to 11, that go 11 pitchers in a first-round playoff series.
Because you got to kind of carry Kyle, who Craig said is going to play Friday. That's the idea, is that he will get a couple of bats in the Cardinals series, and then they'll reassess kind of where he is and make some decisions off of that.
And then for a first-round series, that gives you a six-man bench. Gives you a six-man bench, so you don't have to make bigger decisions just yet based on whether Kyle can play the outfield. And then maybe there's a spot for Mo Baller, and there's a spot possibly for Billy Hamilton, or there's a spot for Justin Turner and Carlos Santana.
I hope not.
Jed wouldn't answer.
You'd rather just have Santana instead of Turner? Because it's not like Turner can still be in your clubhouse and dugout, right?
I just don't know if Santana can hit anymore. I mean, he did double the other day. So, I mean, Santana can play first.
If it's a choice, which one?
Ooh, God.
If it's a binary choice, which guy?
I'd probably go Turner.
Okay.
To me, I go Turner.
For
huge playoff moments and his ability to go the other way. And we've seen some of that. And I don't know. I mean, it's a tough one. But I think here's what I do know, though. Starting lineup-wise, you can't make a starting lineup with Kyle Tucker, Seiya Suzuki, and Moises Ballesteros in it.
Well, Seiya would be your right fielder, and Tucker would probably be your DH.
And then,
so that takes Baller's bat
away, because I mean, you're not gonna sit Happ in left. You're not gonna play Seiya in center over Pete, even if it's a lefty. You're not gonna do that and take Pete's defense away. None of those. I mean, you're not gonna put Mo Baller at first.
This is why I asked the question.
Yeah, it's a good question,
because there's a lot to think about if that guy can't run, and that's the issue. like they put him through like swinging and stuff, and he seems to be okay. It's the running, and that video of him running
does not look very comfortable.
It looked like race walking. That's what it looked like Kyle Tucker was doing. And that does not make me feel confident about anything. By the way, this segment is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the Bears. And a Hall of Fame quarterback has some thoughts on your quarterback. We will share them with you next on the Score.
That 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Four.
Fourth and goal. Williams looking. Pressure. Throws. Caught. Touchdown. DJ Moore.
I would of course go for it, KB. Of course. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
It's special.
You're the special.
We saw Caleb Williams do some really special stuff inside of the game last week, and we're hopeful that he will continue to do special stuff. It's Spiegel and Holmes Show. We are sitting in for Raheemy, Harris, and Grody. They're going to sit in for us at Old Crow. It's a special Budweiser broadcast from 2 to 6, so if you're going to be in the Wrigleyville area, go and see them. Go and hang out. And you should register for very special prizes.
Extremely special prizing. Baseball's postseason is next week. Chaos Week is continuing with all kinds of stuff we got to check in about later on along the way. But Caleb Williams being the special and our quarterback in a good place. NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
NFC Offensive Player of the Week. And so on PTI, while we were doing the show, I looked up and I was like, oh, Steve Young. I love when Steve Young talks about quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks that
can move.
Can move. Because yeah, he was one of the best that ever did it. So here's what he had to say about your quarterback, Caleb Williams.
A guy who hopes he's on his way is Caleb Williams, who had a terrific game Sunday, but it was just a bad Cowboy defense as a quarterback. Do you ever concern yourself with whether it's you or them, or is that just something that people are seeing from the outside?
Well, it's kind of 50-50, right? Like when teams suck, it helps. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a bad thing. But it's not like college. It's not like you play the Colorado School of Mines, you know, or Humboldt State. Like, you're not – it's not everybody's just wide open. The pros are paid. They're great athletes. And you play bad defenses. It does help. So that's 50% of it. But I'm going to give coaching and the transition and what Ben's brought and what Caleb's feeling as an early sign of what that other 50% is this a close – kinship that gets built between coach and quarterback so that it gets easier for the quarterback. It gets simpler. That's why Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay and Randy Reed are so famous, and all the coaches that have left them is because they've made the job of playing quarterback easier. And I think Ben can do that. And it feels like maybe, I don't want to get it too excited, Mike, but it feels like maybe this is the beginning of something really cool.
He knows about that. He and Bill Walsh, and watching Bill Walsh and Joe Montana before him, this idea of the hard-driving coach who knows what he wants and the quarterback who blooms underneath him, that's a relationship that Steve Young knows about. Interesting.
Well, and Steve Young is a cautionary tale, and I get that it's three decades old, but he's a cautionary tale about not giving up on guys too soon. Because if you watch Steve Young in Tampa, you go, that guy's got a lot of talent, but I don't know if it'll ever come together. And you have to make sure that you recognize, well, look at what's around him. Mm-hmm. Everything that's around him is really bad. And then he blossoms into a Hall of Fame player. When you've got talent, people are going to continue to give you that opportunity, i.e. Carson Wentz. Now, I think that was his 101st start that he had for Minnesota, and they'll play Pittsburgh in Ireland this weekend.
How many different teams for Carson Wentz already?
Six?
Five?
Maybe?
Yeah, at least five. Might be six. That's an interesting thing to track. He's young enough and talented enough that that number is going to rise, too.
He's young enough and talented enough and working with the right coach that you might go, JJ, take your time, buddy. There's no one rushing you to get back from your injury. Take your time, fella.
Daniel Jones was only there for 10 minutes, and he's 3-0 in Indianapolis.
16 for Carson Wentz. How about the Daniel 16. Jones story?
Yeah, dude, the NFL is bonkers. But September's a baseball month, so it's understandable that we haven't had a chance to talk about the league that much.
That's not true. Your month is coming. We're a couple days away from it.
Actually,
that's baseball's month.
I know. But September's been great for both, actually. It's been really fun.
Chaos week has been outstanding.
Dude hit home run number 59 and number 60 last night. He's a great defensive catcher. And he still might not win MVP.
Yeah.
He needs to.
I feel like
he's going to.
I was all about like just looking at it statistically and being like, yeah, Aaron Judge deserves it. And I know that we do this with awards and it's stupid. And when it happened to Jordan, it was stupid. I get it. But what Cal Raleigh is doing as a switch hitting catcher is amazing.
And the Mariners just won the division for the first time in what, 24 years? Astros won that division 7 of the last 8 years, and the Mariners just took it on the strength of that dude. In large part, I think he's the MVP.
All right, we need to take a break. Jarrett Payton is going to join us. We get to talk with JP, get his thoughts on what the Bears should do to stop Max Crosby from killing Caleb Williams. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.